Hello and welcome to the Child Care Business Coach Podcast. I'm Evelyn Knight. So I hope everybody has had a wonderful week. I'm joined by someone very special today with Ryan Dowdy, who will actually be joining us at our Child Care Business Summit this year. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Awesome. Well, hi, Evelyn. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. And I'm so looking forward to being with you and your people in October. And I'm really excited about our conversation. So my name is Ryan Dowdy. I am the founder of a community called Be in the Room, which we call a leadership collective where we bring together smart, high achieving, high performing women. It's a really exciting place to be, but my background is actually in sales. So I grew up in sales. I spent 15 years in corporate America, leading and building sales organizations. I like to say that I retired from the corporate world in 2019 and became a full-time entrepreneur, first teaching sales to brand new entrepreneurs, and then teaching sales to sales teams for business owners. So spent several years really teaching sales, sales leadership, building sales organizations, and have gone through a pretty cool reinvention myself since the beginning of 2022, really leaning into myself and trusting myself and my intuition and leveraging the gifts that were given to me, and leads me to having a cool conversation with you, Evelyn, about, you know, leadership and radical responsibility and how we become leaders of our organizations, leaders of ourselves, and build really cool places to work and be and hang out.
I love it. And I know some of my listeners might be thinking, okay, what does this have to do with childcare, right? So I'll explain in a little bit what we were talking about before we started recording, that one of my missions right now is to lead an early childhood education revolution. I'm actually coining the phrase ECE revolution right now, because our industry is facing some catastrophic events if we don't do something now to change things. And part of the issue that we've seen and that I've noticed in my industry is the way that we go about business isn't like other industries. The leadership isn't quite there. The professionalism there. When you talk to people in ECE, you'll constantly hear things like, we're not treated like professionals. We're not treated like school teachers, right? So I always have to bounce back and say, okay, but do you earn it? Are we acting like we are, right? And then I always have to come back and also say, you know, I'm treated like a professional, but I also go outside of my industry for knowledge and for growth. And that is why I've invited you to our summit, because I want to bring people like you into our ecosystem so that we can lead this ECE revolution and help change how the people in my industry think.
Yes. And I think that's amazing. I love your mission. I love your heart for it, which is why my talk that I'm going to give in October and what we're going to kind of preview a little bit today is about that next level of leadership. One of the things that I think, or I'm not sure I knew when I became an entrepreneur, and I'm assuming many of you listening, when you decided to start, you know, to start your facility, to start your business, you didn't realize the role that leadership would play in that, right? Mm-hmm. You thought that, at least for me, when I started a business, I started as a practitioner, right? Like, I'm good at teaching this thing. I'm going to teach this thing. So you were like, I'm really amazing with children. I have a heart for serving them. I have a heart for education. I have a heart for connection. I have a heart for, you know, the next generation of humans. And so that's why you started a business. And then you learned that there's a whole lot that goes into running a business that literally has nothing to do with your core business, which for some people might be frustrating, but then it becomes our role as leader in our organization, and what that means, and how we do it, and how we show up for both our teams and for ourselves is really, in my opinion, Evelyn, kind of the make or break of the success of our business.
Absolutely. And I think for me, when I opened my first child care center, I didn't even think of myself as an entrepreneur. Even as a home provider, I didn't even think that I was an entrepreneur, right? I didn't realize till literally probably almost a decade later that I am an entrepreneur. As a child care center owner. Yes. And I think that you'll see that very typically in our industry. One of the things that I do is we help people who own home child care businesses and just take care of children within their home, and we help them transition into a center. But even if you're a home center, you're still an entrepreneur. Right. You're doing this on your own. And you're
still a leader.
Yes, you're still a leader. Absolutely. So that's part, a great illustration on how we need to change our mindset and realize we are entrepreneurs. We are leaders, no matter what.
Absolutely. And I would say that the first step in leadership, and really this next level of leadership is changing across the globe. So it's really exciting. And running your childcare center right now, you're not really that far behind because everybody's catching up, right? Leadership, even what I saw in the corporate world, even, you know, how I started running my companies even just 3 years ago has had to evolve because the world has changed dramatically,
yes.
Right? The world has changed dramatically. People's expectations have changed dramatically. Employees' expectations have changed dramatically. Our clients, right? The families that you serve, their expectations have changed dramatically. So the first thing in really this next level of leadership, this evolution of leadership is responsibility. It's radical responsibility for yourself. It's radical responsibility for, you know, your results. It's radical responsibility for your circumstances and radical responsibility for becoming the best version of yourself so you can be the best leader for your team, the best provider for the families that you serve. And so for anybody who is running any kind of business right now, but especially those of you who are serving our youth, which I have small kids and it is just probably, I have such a heart for what you do in the community that you serve, Evelyn, because my kids at the time of this recording are 3 and 5. So we are in it. We just have one going into kinder in the fall. So, you know, we've been in it for 5 years, but this radical responsibility for ourselves, for our results, for how we serve our families, for how we lead our teams. And we live in a world where it's a lot of blame. It's a lot of finger pointing. It's a lot of, well, it's all out of my control, right? And yeah. We learned in 2020 that, you know, there are only a handful of things in life that we can control, but being radically responsible for ourselves, for taking responsibility for the results. If you don't like the way your center is running right now, you can change it. If you don't like yes. The revenue that you're bringing in right now, you can change it. If you don't like the staff that you're attracting right now, you can change it. If you don't like the families that are walking through your front door, you can change it. And yes. For some people, that feels very exciting. For some people, it's terrifying. For me, I'm on the exciting side of it, right? If I don't like it, I can change it. And that's really kind of the first thing that we need to realize as business leaders in general is this responsibility that we have, that we get to create the business, the facility, the space, the company that you want to create.
I 100% agree with you. And I think a lot of my listeners and in my industry, they don't get that at all. They don't mm-hmm. understand that they do have this control. If you don't like the culture that your center has produced, which many of you don't even realize you have a culture in your childcare centers. Sure. If you see a lot of gossiping, if you have a lot of call-ins, if you have just where your staff kind of tells you what to do instead of you telling, that is your school's culture. And uh-huh. same thing with the parents, right? If you have parents that aren't paying their bills uh-huh. or they're trying to tell you what the rules should be, that's the culture that you as a leader has established. And if you don't like it, you absolutely can change it. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yes. Yes. I that's 100% true, which kind of brings me to my next point, which is that like the self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. What role do I play in this? And this is maybe the most uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for everybody and anybody, but when you decide, that you want to do it differently, that you want your center to look differently, you want your business to look differently, you want your team to look differently. The self-awareness is that, you know, we get to make the change. What role did I play in this? And so a really great exercise for you is when you look at all the things that Evelyn has covered, and I'm sure she covers all the time in this podcast, right? Like all the moving parts and pieces of your business. Literally start taking notes about, okay, well, if I don't like that I'm getting a lot of call-ins, you know, what role am I playing in this? And the role might simply be that there's no policy in place for calling in and how many times you can call in and what that looks like. Or if you have parents who aren't paying their bills, what role am I playing in that, right? Do I not have a policy in place or do I not hold that policy? Am I not, whatever that looks like for you, but the things that you don't like in your business, in your life, really, it's that self-awareness of where did I create this? And then how can I go about changing this? So first we get to take radical responsibility, but then we have to have the self-awareness of what part did I play in this? And then we get to get into, you know, massive action of how can I start making these changes?
Oh, I absolutely 100% agree. I can tell you a lot of my listeners probably are thinking to themselves that they don't think they have a role, they're too scared to enforce their policy. They may not have policy at all, or they're terrified to enforce it for two reasons. There's this scarcity mentality that has taken over my industry, which basically they're afraid that they can't hire, which I can tell you right now, I am a childcare center. I have no problem hiring. And literally 15 minutes down the road are plenty of jobs that pay double what I pay. And I still have no problem hiring. But and also the same thing with parents. I have a 1,300 child wait list at my center. 1,300. Yes.
Good for you.
But it's because, so it's really, I used to have a hard time with both. Right. But when I switched my scarcity mentality, and I had a victim and a scarcity mentality, and when I basically took control of just those two things, I showed up as a different leader. And everything started to change. And of course, there was more learning behind it.
Sure.
But those are just, it was, so yeah, going back to what you said, that's exactly, just, you can mm-hmm. change it. You don't have to be afraid to hold your staff to policy.
Absolutely. And as somebody, like I said, I'm in it right now. Childcare, my life would not look the way that it did without childcare. It is, when it comes to the scarcity mindset, like, I've always viewed it the other way around, right? From this side of the table, finding there were limited places to put my kids that I wanted them to be. It was never, I never felt like I had control in the child. We've been so blessed and so fortunate, but like my childcare closed. So when Georgia, so my kids are 3 and 5. So Georgia was born in June, 2019. And we had planned for her to go to childcare at 12 weeks. And I think she was in childcare for maybe 3 or 4 weeks when we got a notification that our center was closing in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, our center was closing. Wow. I have an infant.
They went out of business, or wow. Yeah,
they totally went out of business.
Pre-COVID. Wow.
It was pre-COVID. It was pre-COVID. Yeah. It was in the fall of 2019. And we were very fortunate, obviously, with the center closing. The women who worked there no longer had a job. So we were able to snag a nanny for about 6 months, which was an incredible experience for us. But there was never a time where, and I'm just telling you all this just from the goodness of my, like there was never a time where I felt like there were more than enough spots than there were, you know. And so if you're in the space of like, who's going to invest in me or where am I, like the need for good places to put your kids, I promise you from a mom perspective, it doesn't feel, it always feels like the centers have the upper hand. So if you're in this space where like, I'm worried that if I kick this family out, that I'm not going to replace them. I promise you, if you just make that mindset shift, if you just start taking radical responsibility, that there are more than enough families like my family who were desperate for care and literally couldn't find it. And again, we were super blessed and the nanny situation worked out beautifully for about 6 months, but that was never our intention, right? I never intended for my kids to be raised in our home by a nanny. That wasn't what I wanted. Yeah. I always wanted them to be social. I always wanted them to do that. So just so you know, from the parent perspective, whatever that scarcity mindset is that you have, I definitely feel like you hold a lot of the cards in providing really great care. So then the next piece I will take you on of like kind of this leadership journey, this next level of leadership beyond, you know, that radical responsibility and self-awareness is the desire and the commitment to do things differently. So again, the whole world got shook up in 2020, which for some people would played out better than others. But for me, what I saw it as, and what I want you to see it as, is an opportunity to look at all of the things that you do in your business and ask yourself the question, why do I do them? And if the answer is because I've always done them that way, or because so-and-so said that I should, then that's an opportunity to really pull apart. How do we do things differently, right? If your wait list is handled one way, you know, and you're thinking, I want to handle it differently, or you want your center to do differently, or you want your employees to do things differently, really think through why does it look this way? And there's nothing wrong with you. If you've taken this path of creating a business that looks like maybe a business maybe your child went to a childcare, right? Or maybe you worked in a childcare before you started your own facility, or there's a million different reasons why we start businesses, right? But when we think about why do we do the things that we do? And sometimes we find that the answer is because that's just, I read it in a book somewhere, or I heard it on a podcast, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but really thinking through, is this the way that I want to do it? And being brave enough, courageous enough to do things differently. You know what? We're just going to do things a little differently this year. Right. And when you have the courage to do that, when you have the, you know, the courage to make bold moves and do things differently, that's typically where the magic is. Right. Yes. If every other facility is doing the things that the way they've always been done, like Evelyn shared with me, you know, before we pushed record, like your industry, the way they've always done it isn't working so well. Right. Like now, we, you know, So now is the opportunity to use your creativity, to use the skills that you have, the experiences that you have from previous lives or different experiences, and really think, how can we do things differently? If I could wave a magic wand, and I know that's the cheesiest question, but it's so powerful. If I could wave a magic wand and create what I want to create, what would that be? And how many of those things are different than what the industry says is status quo? Because now is an opportunity, as part of this revolution that Evelyn is creating, as part of business changing, is for us to say, hey, yeah, no, I know it's always been done this way, but I want to try it out this way. And then really trust yourself and trust your gut and trust your intuition and trust your creativity to actually take action on those ideas, right? Yes. It's not enough to just be creative and have ideas, but to actually take action on those ideas by trusting yourself to know, hey, I've been in this game long enough. I've been doing this long enough. And I really think it would work better if we did it this way. Or I really think our families would like it if we tried things this way. And trust yourself in that moment. Trust that that idea is going to lead you somewhere that's going to give you some sort of transformation. And there's not a business or an industry out there that can't benefit from really inspecting all of the things that we do in our business day to day and think, you know, is there a way to do this differently that is more in line with what I want to create, the type of business I want to have, the type of life that I want to have, and really start asking yourself those tough questions.
And that's exactly why I have thought leaders like you coming in, because I want to change the industry standards. The industry standards aren't working. And just to go back to your illustration of using the magic wand, it's funny because I did that in 2012. I actually sat down. I hated my career path. I was at the point where I was literally in tears one day in my car, sitting at my childcare center's parking lot, praying and begging God to release me of his calling of my life. I literally was in my car just saying, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Please don't make this my calling. Please release me from this as my calling. And through some actions that happened, I decided, like, you know what, if I wanted to create my perfect center, if I had a magic wand and I literally asked myself that question, what would it look like? And I wrote it out. And that was when I started my journey to change. Mm-hmm. I wrote out what I thought I had written was to me a unicorn, right? I thought there's no way. 6 years later, I found my, like, that piece of paper I wrote out, went through it, and I was just shocked to see that I had turned that into a reality. What I had thought was a unicorn 6 years earlier had turned out to be the reality I live in today. And it's kind of funny. So since then, now I dream big. Every time I think to myself, oh, that's not, I'm like, oh, really? Well, let's double it then. So it's completely changed me in that, realizing that exactly what you're saying. But we have, in order to do that and accomplish that, we have to let go of industry standards. We have to start seeing things the way other high level leaders see things. We have to change how we think and how our mindset works.
Yes. 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 I love that story. I think that's amazing. And 6 years, to some of you listening right now, you're like, 6 years is an eternity. But when you think of the amount of time we spend in our career, if you could in 6 years be running the facility of your dreams with a 1300 family wait list, like, is it not worth it? Right. I think so often we, you know, this is my pastor at church. What did he say? I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to get to my point. Is basically we basically overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in five.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So we're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do all this in a year. And we all do this. And it's not just in your business, right? It could be like a weight loss goal or a relationship goal or a money goal or whatever. We set these goals on January 1st of every year, and the moon and the stars, right? And we get to October, November, December, and we haven't hit all of those goals. And then, so then we just start scrapping the goals. And like I said, we wind up not hitting them in 1 year, but we don't think, if we just, what if 1 year became 14 months, 16 months, 18 months, 24 months, right? You know, in your instance, heck, 60 months, right? When we get there, imagine what we could create. And I think that that is just such a great lesson for all of us. So we've talked a lot about leading yourself. And as we kind of continue, I want to talk about, how do we lead our teams, right? Because oftentimes in childcare centers, you're leading a team of people who are probably pretty young, at least in my childcare facility. You know, they're pretty young, or they've been in childcare a long time, right? They have that industry standard of, this is the way that we've always done it. I think one of the most powerful things that we can do when we're leading others is to share our mission with them. Share your mission. I actually learned this from a former mentor of mine, of like, share your mission and your vision for your childcare center. And if you're thinking, Ryan, I don't know what my mission and my vision for my childcare center are, here's an amazing exercise for you to do is what are those, what is that mission and that vision? Because when you think about why did I create this facility? Why did I create this center? Why am I so passionate about serving, you know, children and their families? Why am I so passionate about all the things that you're passionate about and really think about what's my mission in this center, whether I own it for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or 50, or wind up selling it to somebody else. What is my mission and my vision for this center? And when you get clear on that, and then you share that with your people, you share that with your team. I don't care if it's your part-time team. I don't care if it's the person who just does your meal prep for you. I don't care if it's, you know, just that one person who works one day a week from you. If you really share, this is our mission and our vision. This is how we show up. This is how we serve the families that we serve. This is how we serve the children that we serve. And this is how we serve their parents. And you make that the theme of how people show up and go about their day every day, it really changes how they show up. Because if somebody's showing up to work just with the idea of I watch kids today, right? Like, that's my job. I just show up and I watch kids versus my mission is to give children, you know, a safe and healthy place to play and learn. I just made that up, right? But if that's your mission, like that, you show up differently to do that job than you do to watch kids.
Yes. And that's the first thing I take my members through, because vision, not only what I've learned, I mean, you know, my husband passed away last year. And one of the things that I've learned through the 3 years that he was terminally ill, and I was his first full-time nurse, and then having him pass. And so it's been about a 4-year journey altogether. My vision and mission for my life is what got me through. It's why I didn't quit. It's why I'm still here today interviewing you, because I know that my mission is so huge and so important to this world that I can't stop. So even when I took the time off right after my husband passed away, I thought about not going back to work. I could be fine for the rest of my life. I could sell my center and I would never have to work another day in my life. But when I really sat back and thought about it, I just realized, no, I have to do what I'm doing. It is too important. The other thing is for childcare. So the average childcare center in the United States, our retention rate for employees is 6 months. 6 months. Yeah. Mine is about 7 years at this point. And it's because every year, well, the first thing I do when I onboard a new employee is I teach them my vision. I show them why do I do what I do. Every year, every January, we do a vision basically like a team meeting. It's more than just a staff meeting, but it's this thing where we really get together. We talk about our vision. I take specific children that are in our center and I show them how this child is our vision. And then I have them each create their own vision for their classrooms. And so because of that, this isn't just a job. This is a life work that they're doing. And that's why I can, you know, sometimes I wish I could pay my staff more. They don't make nearly what they deserve to make, but they stick with me through the hardest times because they know what they're doing means something.
Right. And that there's some of you out here, because if you started a center, because I'm going to tell you, this is, and maybe you're not as, the entrepreneur brain's a little different, but if you started this childcare center, you did it because you're self-motivated, right? Like you're pretty driven on your own. And so the idea that somebody else needs to be reminded of that can sometimes feel weird, right?
Yes.
When you're like, why do I have to remind somebody? Like, what do you mean? But you can never assume that somebody is going to feel the way that you feel about your work. And it's so hard to understand because you're like, well, nobody pats me on the head, right? Nobody reminds me of my vision. Nobody tells me why I have to get out of bed and do this work every day on the days I don't feel like doing it. But that's the gift we were given. Right? God gave us these gifts to start these businesses, to do these things, to serve these families in the way you all are doing this. But he didn't give everybody that gift, right? So we have to remember that, because I hear that a lot from leaders of like, well, you know, I'm paying them to do a job. Like I want them to do their job. But again, your job and their job is different, right?
Yes.
They're never going to feel it the way that you feel it unless you weave that through in your organization. And I love that you guys do that once a year. We try to meet quarterly with our team because it's so easy because things move so fast. It's so easy to get swept up. So we try to meet quarterly on my team and really talk about what are we doing? How are we serving our membership? Like all those different things. So I love that. And kind of the final thought that I will leave you about leadership, and obviously we'll talk more about this in October at the event, which I can't wait to meet you all at, is really this idea of showing up in integrity. right? Showing up in integrity for yourself, right? So often we think integrity means, you know, I have to serve everybody else first, right? But I want you to really think about what's integrity, like integrity to yourself, to your mission, to your work. You know, you did not start a child care center, you know, to work 80 hours a week, you know, tirelessly and without any thanks, right? You did not start this facility so that you could have families not pay their bills or so you can have to hire any staff every 6 months. And that's not why you did this. So really having the integrity to yourself and say, okay, what I'm seeing is not what my vision is and how do I fix this, right? And really stand in that truth, exactly what you just described, Evelyn, like your ability to go back to work after such a catastrophic loss was because of your integrity to yourself. Because this was your gift. This was your calling. This is like, okay, I owe it to myself, not just to everybody else. I owe it to myself to show up and to lead my team and our families and our children in a powerful way. And when you show up in a business where you don't feel like the business owner, right? When you don't feel like the leader, when you feel like you're being led around your own business, it's really time to come back to yourself. Where am I out of integrity? What am I letting go? Is there a standard that's being slid by into my organization that I'm not okay with, but I don't know how to fix, right?
Right.
And that's why there's amazing women like Evelyn to help you fix those problems, right? But really thinking through like, what is out of integrity for me in this organization? Is there a level of something that's not being, that I'm not okay with, but I'm either overlooking or I feel like I can't fix or I don't know how to fix, and really figure out how do I get true to myself? Like, where can I show up as the best leader of this team, as the best leader of this organization? Where can I make things right? And this is one of the hard parts, right? Like leadership is not for the faint of heart at all, right? But this is one of the tough parts of where have I let things slide out of fear, out of, you know, complacency, out of being busy, out of being tired, out of being exhausted, because so often those things, those small things that might not feel like a big deal, right? It's not a big deal that it's not done exactly the way that I want it done, right? Oh, it's no big deal that they're, you know, 7 days late when our policy says 5, right? Like you're letting these things slide, but it's actually pulling you out of integrity to you. And a lot of it's what's stunting your growth, right? So where are you not being true to yourself as a leader of your center, and how can you fix those things? Because everything else will start to fall into place when you get it.
And you need to do those checkups constantly. Last week was mine. It's constant, right? So one of the things when I established this company, Child Care Business Professionals, I did was we are closed the week of July 4th. And I did that intentionally because for one thing, I know as a very A-type personality, I'm not going to take time off unless my business is closed.
Sure.
So in order to ensure that I'm actually taking time off, we are closed this week and the week between Christmas and New Year's. And last week is kind of my mental health week of the year. And so I went away by myself and I did a lot of thought work, right? And one of the things that I ask myself is, what am I pretending not to know right now? Right. And then you have to have this conversation with yourself, this honest, and you know, let me tell you, it pops in your head. You know, the first thing that pops in is like, okay, that's the thought I need to grab onto. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I ask myself is, okay, what is the most important conversation I need to have with myself during this time? So between those two questions, asking myself, basically, what am I pretending not to know? And what important conversations do I need to have with myself? And then really just sitting in that space. And I might just go for a walk and process the thoughts. This time I drove and drove and drove and processed the thoughts. But it's just a matter of allowing the thoughts to process. It's huge because you cannot level up to the next best leader if you don't level you up first. Yes. You've got to be able to fix those issues before you can really level up.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. It's so, I love that. Driving is a big one for me too, because there's nothing else to do. You cannot multitask when you drive.
Yes, exactly.
So I've actually find driving is a really good place for me to process as well. Driving and walking, I would agree, are both mine, but I recently learned it was driving because I used to not like driving like long distances. I found it was a waste of time because my type A brain is like, I'm not doing anything, right? But I've actually learned that it's an excellent place to process your thoughts and to really you know, turn something over and look at it a couple of times because you can't do anything else while you're doing it. So I love that. So yeah, so just to kind of recap for you guys, what did we talk about today? One, first and foremost is responsibility, right? Radical responsibility for your results. The self-awareness, where am I playing into the results that I don't like? The courage to do things differently is so, so important, right? Enrolling your team and your staff into your mission. And then finally having that integrity, right? Having that self-integrity to be true to yourself as a business owner, as a leader, as somebody who, you know, obviously has a heart for the work that you do, because I can't imagine you get into early childhood education without a heart for it. But where are you out of integrity with yourself is really going to help you step into that next level of leadership, create the center that you want, create the culture that you want, attract the families that you want to serve. It's really going to change everything for you and for your business.
Yes, that is wonderful. I can't wait to hear your speech in October, since you are one of our keynote speakers. And if you don't have your summit ticket yet, make sure you get that before it sells out. Not only are we going to be learning from great thought leaders like Ryan, but we're also going to be having fun. I mean, self-care is so important too. So hopefully, Ryan, you'll have some time to have fun with us. We have picked out a very fun location. Yeah, I'm so excited too, because that's part of what we want. I mean, going back to what we talked about today, self-care, all of it is so important. So thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Yes, Evelyn, thank you so much. And I'm so excited to meet all of you in October.
Thank you.